Genesis 6:19 through 22, a very familiar story to the novice Bible believer. This is the two of a kind. And it says in 19, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after every kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto you to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Here's our verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. God commanded him, so did he. You know what I hear all the time as pastor? Well, you need to tell brother so-and-so to do this, or tell sister so-and-so to do that. And you know what I always say? These volunteers. Okay, I can't tell nobody to do nothing. Okay, we're not paying. I can tell Margaret and Ann, because they're on the payroll. I can say, you know, the bathroom ain't clean enough. You know, maybe we need to work a little harder. Maybe put some wax down. But as pastor, I don't have the authority to command anyone. And then you got to understand, folks that know the word of God, and they know that God is saying it to them, then they have a willing heart, and they have to deal with God. Okay? But the pastors, and you know, we got some that can command their people. I probably need to go to a workshop and find out how you do it. But I don't have the authority to tell Sylvia, you know what? You need to give more. You need to come here on Wednesday and Thursday, every time these doors of this church open. Can you tell her that? Okay? I would love if she did it willingly. But God has the authority to command his servants. He has the authority to command me. And he said, preacher, I want you to preach the word. Okay? I want you to preach the Bible, preach it, whether they want to hear it or not. And I am obligated to do that. Okay? But here we look at this word God commanded. And Noah did so. Okay? That's interesting, because now we're looking at commitment, we looking at dedication, we looking at devotion, we looking at another word comes up, steadfastness. These are all words that just came up when I Googled that word. Faithfulness. And this is the last one. Loyalty. You find all that in Noah. Noah had all that. This is in 22 again. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Obedience. When we start talking about obedience, we start talking about what it really means for the child of God. If you're a child of God, you're going to be as obedient as the power of God in you will allow you. Okay? When we look at obedience in the Word of God again, you want to know somebody truly God's man? Truly God's woman? Truly God's child, however you want to look at it, obedience will mark that person. It will mark that person. They'll look at God's word, whether they like it or not. Whether they agree with it or not, God said it, that settles it. See, somebody will say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No. God said it, whether you believe it or not, it's settled. I mean, whether you believe it or not. And listen, let me tell you something. It ain't none of it's easy to believe. And sometimes it's unsettling. It's unsettling. But look how Paul said this in Philippians 2. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Okay? And what Paul's saying is, when you're dealing with the things of God, when God is saying something to you and he's speaking to your heart, you better work that thing out. You better work hard as you can to make sure you what? Right with God. Okay? But see, we want to be horizontal. We tend to want to be right with man. Okay? And sometimes we'll sacrifice the parallel relationship for the horizontal relationship. And that may work while you're here. Okay? It may get you promoted. And, you know, it may get you, you know, you may make this congeniality or something like that. But in God's economy, I want to be right with God. Okay? Obedience is the mark of a servant of God. If you're a servant of God, then you want to hear God's word. You want to be obedient to God's word. Even if it don't always bring comfort. Okay? Romans, Paul again, Romans 6:16 said, "Know you not that to whom you yield your service to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey." Y'all understand what that says? Okay? But listen, you don't curse somebody. And there's only two gods in the world. Okay? So, let me read it one more time. Verse 16 of Romans 6. "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself service to, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." It's his Paul, verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." That's who we were. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. We were the servants of sin. "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made what? Free from sin. You become the servants of righteousness." And again, you'll hear me. It's like a broken record for me. You know what that doctrine is that was delivered to you? John 3:16. That was the doctrine that was delivered to you. And if you don't get John 3:16 right, you know you're gonna be left behind. You gotta get John 3:16 right. So you hear me push it all the time. You know, guys that I study under, they pushed it. They told Whitfield, why do you preach John 3:16 so much? Because folks need to hear it. You can't go anywhere in your Christian life without an understanding of John 3:16. Seriously. And you know, you decide they used to put them up in the football game, then they went John 3:16. Then they had to put 3:16, folks on the map. And the reason they did it because it was important. And then the NFL and all, you know, they take that down. That's offensive. That's offensive. That's one of the most offensive verses in the Bible. One of the most offensive things that Jesus ever said was John 3:16. It really was. When you think about what Jesus said and the reason they crucified him, you can pin it on John 3:16. Amen. That's why they killed him. Because he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And in the Jewish economy, only begotten meant him. He was saying, "Me and my Father are one." He's basically saying, "I'm God in the flesh. And whosoever believes in me shall have everlasting life." What was he saying about all the other gods? They couldn't give you everlasting life. Why follow God can't give you everlasting life? Seriously. That makes sense, Deacon? That makes sense. Okay? So faithfulness is basically saying yes. Okay? Being obedient is basically saying yes. When Noah said yes to God, okay, he was obedient. Why we call him righteous? That righteous man, Noah. Because the righteous person is right with God. You can't be right with God if you're saying no to God. Okay? You can't be right with God if you're saying no. And you know what God first said? You said, "I don't know." Nope. And God said, "Hey, look, I need you to go and witness to this person. I need you to go take this person in. I need you to go and just give this person something." Nope. I ain't got time for him. You're not going to be right with God. If God says, "I need you to forgive your sister. I need you to forgive your brother. Okay, I need you and your husband to work that thing out." Nope. Okay? Y'all heard them voices before. "Yeah, I need you to do this." Noah did what God commanded him to do. Let me tell you some folks. We want from God. All of us want from God. When I say want from God, I don't mean material stuff. Okay? We want from God. We want from God. Don't we want from God? We want to see our loved ones saved. We want to see our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren. We want to, maybe some of us, we want to see our parents saved. We want to see some folks saved. We want from God. But we don't want to say yes to God.
Yes, Lord.
We want from God. But we don't want to say yes to God. A lot of us don't get what we want from God because when God wants from us, we can't say yes. Okay? And I need example and example and example in the Word of God where people said yes to God and they received from God. See, a lot of the prosperity teachers are teaching you that you need to say yes to God. They almost teaching you what, you know what, you deserve it from God. God owes you. God owes you nothing. But God is a God of mercy, and He's a God of grace, and He's a God of love. And if He knows you love Him, and you're going to say yes to Him, He may say yes to you, even though I think most of His answers is no, because we don't know what we really want. And if God gave some of us what we really want, then still we wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? Listen, here's a man that wanted from God. Remember the blind man? Okay, in Matthew's version of it, Matthew 9:28, there was two of them. There were two blind men. Look at this thing. I got paid to preach. How about that?
Deacon is too big.
Listen. The blind man gave the yes to God. He gave God a resounding yes. And guess what he got? He didn't get a whole lot of money. He got his sight back. That's what he said. And when he was coming to the house, now they was on the street begging. And when he had come to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Mm-hmm. Okay? And they said unto him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." What was their belief based on? Remember Mark's version of the same story. The blind man called Jesus the Messiah, Son of David. Okay? Have mercy on me. Because that was who Jesus was. And when they said yes to the fact that they knew who Jesus was, they got what they asked for.
Amen.
They got what they asked for. Watch this one. Here's the story of the Syrophoenician woman. Y'all know the story of the Syrophoenician woman? She found Jesus. She came out and looked for Jesus. She was actually trying to get away. He was trying to get away from the crowd, but she found him. Okay? It says this in Matthew 15 and 27, excuse me, verse 21. Start here. Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Okay? That's God's country. That was God's country. He studied the king of Tyre and the king of Sidon. He was godless king. Okay? And then Jesus then went into this godless land. And listen, and behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." You see how she introduced herself to Jesus? Okay? She kind of correct. She wants something from Jesus. She wants something from Jesus. Now, what I find interesting in this story, and all of us share this. I know I do. All of us that have kids and loved ones, we all share this. Watch what this woman said. Now, I'm going to slow it down real slow for you. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." She's asking God to have mercy on her, even though she didn't have her issues. Her issue was with someone that she loves. You know how kids can grieve you? Everybody here knows, understand that. Okay? Listen, behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Okay? But he answered her not a word. Let's keep going with this. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cried at us." Okay? We got a church folk like that. Okay? We talked about that yesterday. We're not going to go down that road again. But he answered and said, "I am not." Talking to the woman now. He had been silent for a minute. And he wanted to see if she would just quit. See, some of us quit before we get an answer. Some of us are like, oh, I'll go to another church. You know? But she didn't quit. Watch her response in verse 20, 24. And he answered and said, remember the disciples came and tried to run her off. She said, we ain't going to see y'all. She knew who she came to see. She came to see, O Lord, thou son of David. But he answered her in verse 24 and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She said, Jesus saying unto her, I came for the Jews. Okay? And he did. He did. He came to be a savior for the Jews. We're going to keep going with this, and we're going to get to Romans 1:16. But verse 25, she didn't stop. See? She didn't stop. Word of God says, so there are a few of you that find it. There's a seeking involved. There's a searching involved. There's a pursuit involved in getting in right relationship with God. If we want things from God, we got to seek them. Okay? All right? You go to the bank and you want a loan, and they say, well, I need some more information. You go home and get it. And then you go back to the bank and say, I need some more information. You go back and get it. Then you go to the bank again and say, well, you need a cosign. And now you're starting to, now you're getting sticky here. But you're going to try to find somebody. You're going to say, can you cosign for me? Because you want this woman. This woman wanted her daughter healed of this demon. Watch what happens here in verse 25. Then came she, verse 25, and worshiped him. How about that? She was doing something that the Jews refused to do. Remember he said, the Son of Man come not but for the house of Israel? Well, the Israelites rejected him. They wanted to kill him. They even said, anybody who acknowledged Jesus Christ the Lord is going to kick him out of the synagogue. Here's this woman, not a Samaritan, a Canaanite. Now she is worshiping him. You know why? Because she knew that he came to be worshipped, that he was worthy of our worship. Same with the woman with the alabaster box. When Simon the sorcerer Simon the leper didn't want to worship him, didn't want to anoint his hand or wash his feet, his woman came in, worshipped him. If you want to get what you want from the Lord, you better get the worship game on. Okay, she had a worship on. Listen, and she worshiped him, saying again, Lord, help me. That language ought to be familiar to the Bible reader. Remember the thief on the cross? He couldn't worship Jesus. He couldn't do nothing. He was nailed to a cross. But before they got on that cross and while they were nailing him, he was ridiculing Jesus. He was talking about it, talking crazy to Jesus. And then they put that sign over Jesus' head and said, this is the King of the Jews. Something triggered something. God opened his eyes and then he changed his tune. And he told his buddy, he said, we deserve what we're getting. You know, we deserve to die because we did some crazy stuff. But this man has done nothing. She recognized Jesus as sinless, as a king of kings and the Lord of lords. And then he said, Lord. He wasn't Lord before. Mm-hmm. He was mocking him and calling names like his other buddy was. And then something changed, just like in us. And we didn't always call Jesus Lord. Okay? And then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here's this woman of the Canaanite woman is saying, Lord, help me. What's she saying? She probably exhausted every other option she had. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She probably exhausted every option that she had of Jesus. So she said, Lord, help me. Watch this response. This is good. Fair walking right in time. She just heard one of her phrases, verse of the Bible. And then she timed it perfectly. But he answered, said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. See, Jesus is doing everything he can to give this woman's faith is for real. Come in, like, who's talking about? She said, verse 27, and she said, truth. I'm a dog. You know, that's what he said. I'm a dog. I'm not an Israelite. I'm not a Hebrew. Truth. I am a dog. That's what she said. called vague. And she said, I'm not ancient prophet vague, okay? She said, true, I am God. She said, true, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Amen.
Now, many of us in here that had dogs, okay? I think about that one Paulus sent me years ago. Killed my neighbor's cat. Almost got me kicked out of the neighborhood. Lord have mercy. See, I have memory stuff come up. Okay? That's another story. I have to share that with y'all on a Wednesday night. Okay? The true glory of the dogs eat crumbs, which fall from the master's table. And, you know, and Claire and I, we used to study back in the day, you know, when we was real close. But Claire would always say, you know, the same ingredients is in the crumbs that's in the bread. And one of the things I always say, listen, it doesn't take but one drop of Jesus' blood to heal all of us. Yeah. It only took one crumb. This woman, all she wanted was a crumb. She said, just give me the crumbs that fall to me. Okay, that's all she wanted was a crumb. And see, some of y'all need something big. You know, I'm going to see a crumb. Some of y'all want a whole cake. Nah, just a crumb. Just give me a crumb. Because that's all it takes to save you. Crumb from Jesus. She said, Master. She said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs and fall from their master's table. Watch this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And what we were talking about before, some of y'all came in a little late. We were just talking about some of us want for God, but we don't want to say yes to God. Noah said yes to God. And all that God commanded Noah to do, Noah had one answer for God. Yes, Lord. See? That's yes, Lord. Let me give you one more person. I thought this was a remarkable story. I have plenty more, but this one here really, really just hit me hard when I was looking over this. It's Martha. See, we know Martha. But at some point, Martha got down with Jesus at his feet. She learned from Jesus because she got the right answer. She got the right answer. Now, I don't know if this right answer got her. She wanted her brother to live. Okay? Now, Jesus knew He had died. He waited purposely for 4 days, not three, 4 days. No, in the Jewish economy, they figured, well, the spirit don't leave the body until after the fourth day. There was a lot of superstition involved in that. So he waited 4 days. And then when he was coming, they ran to him. And remember, and I'm paraphrasing this and summing it up real, just to shorten it a little, but in John 11:27, I'm at 24, Martha said unto him, Jesus said, come. And she called herself getting in Jesus. Real, see, now listen, my brother, and you know, some of y'all know how y'all feel about y'all loved ones. Some of y'all even hear her there. I look at Claire, she ain't my brother. Okay? And look at Ron, and she's like, my daughter's going through right now. And some of us have got kids and grandkids that's going through right now. Okay? So Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus came and asked me, you believe who I am? Now watch verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, now you got to get this. I think this is going to be on your entrance exam. So, you know, this question that Jesus asked Martha, you're going to have to answer. Okay? I'm giving you the answer to your entrance exam to get into heaven. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What's Jesus saying? This is legal stuff here. He's saying, I am the resurrection. What's he mean? Listen, I'll be resurrected. And your brother's going to be resurrected. But Jesus also said, I got the power to resurrect him right now. I got all authority. I got all power to do whatever I want to do. you right now. Okay? Now, he said, not only that, I am the lion. Now, this is John 14, 6 language. Okay? What's John 14, 6 say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus said, I am the life. Okay? And he's also saying in this resurrection, I am the way. Because you can't get to heaven unless you're resurrected. Okay? So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Watch this. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth, liveth and believeth. Man, you can't start believing this once you're dead. Like I always say, everybody in hell is Christian. Everybody in hell believes in Jesus Christ. But you can't wait to hell, get to hell and say, yes, I'm a believer. Everybody believes in hell. That makes sense, man? Yeah. But there ain't no, see, like the extra sign there? There ain't no extra signs. All right. And whosoever liveth and believe. This is your opportunity. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, this is your opportunity. Okay? Right now. Okay? He that liveth and believe in me shall never die. See? Y'all make people. Don't let these funeral homes and stuff fool you. Ain't nobody dying. Okay? If you know the Lord as your Savior, you ain't dying. How you going to get judged if you dead? See, this word out there, Hebrews 9, 27, there's a point on the man what? Wants to die, that's the judgment. How you going to judge something that's dead? He's going to wake you up to judge you. Let's keep going. I'm going to get bogged down with this. And she said unto him, yea, Lord. Wait a minute. I got to go back. I'm sorry. I got to go back verse 25, 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here's the question. Got to answer it. Ronnie, you got to answer this one. You got to get this one right. This is worth 90 filler points. Believest thou this? That's a big question. Okay? Pastor Tilson, that's a big question. Alright? What is he asking her to believe? That I am the resurrection and the life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Okay? In me. Okay? Not in Elijah Muhammad. Okay? Not in Joseph Smith. Not in the Pope. Not in your favorite pastor. In me. Not me. In Jesus.
Amen.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here's the question. Believest thou this? That's good. Believe that?
Better than me. Amen.
Okay? You guys without excuse now. Believest thou this? Here's our answer. That happened. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Come on in, Martha. Ain't that a great answer? Ain't that a great answer? Anthony's mother, ain't that a great answer? That's a great answer. Let me read it again because it sounds so good. Okay? And she answered, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. I like Peter, don't you? The Son of God, which should come into the world. Now listen. Now y'all know, I don't like talking politics a lot. These candidates call themselves Christians. Donald and Hillary call themselves Christians. Let them get out on the campaign trail and answer this question, either one of them. Do you believe this? John 3:16. And she said, and Donald said, or Hillary said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Let me talk about commitment. Sound like she's committed? Sound like it to me. Listen. What do we need to commit? I'm going off too long. I know I can. What do we need to commit to get to heaven? You need to commit yourself. Commit yourself. What do you mean, Pat? Commit yourself. You can't start shooting apples. It's going to cost you a little bit. It may hurt a little bit, but you have to commit yourself. How do you commit yourself? You got to hold fast to the things of God. Listen, how Paul says it. I like to use the word God. Here's how Paul says it in 2 Timothy 1. He's talking to Timothy, and Timothy's struggling with this thing. Timothy, the word Timothy means timid. Okay, so Timothy struggled with this stuff. Okay, remember, Timothy walking with Paul and watching Paul go through, they beating Paul, stoning Paul, and now in 2 Timothy, they're going to cut Paul's head off, and Timothy, he's telling Timothy, you got to do what I do. That's kind of hard. You know, when they're going to kill you, you want me to follow your footprints. That's what he's saying. Okay? Here's what Paul says in Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 and 12, he says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. See, to commit to something, you can't be ashamed. See, a lot of Christians are ashamed. Listen, for I know whom I have believed. For I know who I have believed. Really? John 3:16 again. John 14:6 again. All, it just comes through the whole word of God. He says, the word believe. Come on, let's throw John 3:16 in there. Okay? He says, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, fully convinced, that he is able, strong enough, powerful enough, to keep that which I have committed unto him against what? That day. That day. Okay? That day. What day? That day. Ain't y'all happy we only got that once? That day. Listen what he said. Here's how you do it, Timothy. Here's how you do it. Paul, see, Paul always gives instruction. He gives you a command. He gives you a duty. He's going to tell you how to do it. He said, here's how you do it, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the what? Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. I like that. I like that. Paul was so committed. He was committed. Let me give you a couple of things Paul said that was showing you his commitment. Oh, we got to be committed. I mean, if we're going to serve God, we got to be committed. We just do. Paul, how many know what a compass is? You know?
Direction.
What's that?
Direction.
A compass.
No,
accomplish.
Accomplish.
Accomplish. Me, you know, me and Matthew going. You know, and I say, Matthew, say, give me a ride home, Pastor. And I drop the stuff. I want to give me a pop. And he's going to the store, and Rob and they come running out. Pop in the car and say, take off. I'm in the accomplice. You know, I ain't done nothing. But he ride with me, and I'm riding with him. Now we go. Okay? That is another word. A partaker. Paul uses that word. A partaker. That means we in this together. Okay? A partaker. A participant. Now watch how Paul puts this together again in 2 Timothy. And anytime you read 2 Timothy, you know Paul, he's ready to die. So these are his dying words. So he's saying to Timothy, and he's giving Timothy instruction on how to commit. And this is pastoral stuff. And my duty is to give you guys, you know, the information on how to commit. You know, we need to be committed. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1 and 6. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. What he said, Paul? He said, Timothy, you got the right stuff. And many of you guys have the right stuff. You got to stir it up every once in a while. Okay? You go to Golden Corral, you just not going to go over to the scoop and just take the scoop in. You're going to stir it up a little bit. Okay? If you like me, you're going to try to get all the meat out of it. But that's another story. Okay, but you're going to stir it up. And he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I talked to a kid today, poor thing, these social workers and doctors and psychs, and they got these kids so confused. And I'm talking to him, and he's saying, well, you know, I'm ADHD, I'm bipolar. He gave me another couple of names. I said, no, you a sinner. You, that's all you is. You lost, sin, sick individual, and you need to be delivered from them demons. And he looked at me, and he knows. I preached a long time. That's not why you beating up people in here. That's not why you fighting here, because you got evil spirit. See? That's all. You need to be delivered. That's all. Come on here. Give me some pills. You know? Listen. I don't know how I got down that rabbit trail, but here's Paul. Back to the base. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Well, why Paul called himself a prisoner? He was in jail. Well, whose prisoner was he? God's prisoner. Didn't he tell Timothy this, Claire, in verse 8? Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be a partaker. He said, Timothy, be a partaker. He's saying, you guys, Matthew, deacon, be a partaker. You're going to take something. You know? That's why a lot of people don't come to the Lord. But they know it's going to take something. You're going to get some affliction. Okay? You know, it ain't popular being Christians, as some folks say it is or think it is. Listen. Who have saved up and called up with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, and was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, again, commitment, be a partaker. One more verse. I don't know which one I'm going to do. Commit your soul unto him. Commit your spirit unto him. Commit your way unto him. Commit your works under him. Commit your burdens. How about that one? Commit your care unto him. Peter said, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cared for you. Let me share this last one. I thought this was one of the better ones. He's talking to the church of Smyrna, this church that was persecuted in Revelation 2. And he's talking specific to this church. And there was only the two churches out of the seven churches that was right with God. All the rest of them wasn't right with God, but this church in Smyrna was right with God. And God is speaking to this church in a vision that he gave John on the island of Patmos. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say first and last, which was dead and now is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation, thy poverty, thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay? Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. What are they saying? It's going to get rough for the church. It's getting ready to get rough. It's already rough. Okay? You look at what's going on. You look what's going on down there in Florida, in Atlanta. Those folks down there, we don't want your prayers. You don't believe in that God. We don't. So for the church to pray for them folks, they be saying the LGBT saying, we don't want to hear your prayers. We don't want your prayers. We don't believe in that God. We don't believe in God. They don't want to pray for them. They said, we have gay pride. We don't want your prayer. It's all over the news. We don't want your prayer. Don't pray for us. We don't believe in that. Then they got folks out there saying it's good for them. I heard preachers say that's good for them. They deserve it. So if they deserve it, we don't deserve it. Okay, homosexuality, I don't see that God will judge. Matter of fact, it's way down the list when you go through them. Liars before, and if you want to go through the list, he said, I'm going to judge a liar with more than I'm going to judge a homosexual. See, we don't want to hear that. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That what? that ye may be tried. Okay? It's so easy to start about when everything's going right. When you get tested and tried, you find out what you got. You find out what you got. And he shall give tribulation 10 days. Listen, here's our word. Here's our word. Be thou what? Faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. See, we get into this business. We start talking about being committed. We talk about being faithful. We talk about loyalty and all that. It's not a passing thing. Okay? I will say this. I had this conversation given out community, even with Mother Wallace and Kiki Johnson. You know? Last couple conversations I had with Kiki Johnson. You know what? Just be faithful unto death. We had this conversation. I did with Chester, did with everybody that I talked to that has passed away under my watch. Okay? You need to forgive anybody? Penny Johnson did. Catherine was right there. And I asked her, Penny Johnson, eyes open up. You know what Catherine said? You got a niece. You got a niece. You need to get right with it. She did. And that niece came to the hospital, and they embraced and forgave each other. Good to go. That's dying grace. That's dying grace. I'm going to do the same thing in a minute. If somebody, if I'm going before y'all, make sure y'all ask me. Pastor, you need to forgive anybody. I'll tell you right now, I don't. I'm good. I am. I work on that all the time, you know. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't even here mad at nobody. Paul, you ain't even here mad at nobody, are you? Okay, we're going to have to get together. You got some place. Paul was so honest, I love her to death. She was so honest. Okay? That's the truth.
Give her some growing words.
I did. And she, you know what? That's why I met her in church. So her and Sylvia, they just honest. So you got people you need to forgive?
Nope. Takes too long. And not worth being mad at.
That's right. You can check them now. There ain't no reason to be mad at nobody. You can check them. That's hard. Snapchat them. Sorry. Get right. And you know what? Listen. One more verse on this. Just, I'm talking about being faithful. I'm closing, honestly. Matthew 10:22. These are the ones you don't have in your Bible. Because see, we don't need one. These are important. Here's Jesus talking. He said, "You shall be hated of all men for my sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." You know, we talk about, you know, first do their salvation. Listen, let me tell you something. Here's the plan. God says, if you won't know, if you truly saved, you gonna be faithful. How long? To the very end. You know why that's in there? Because see, Satan ain't gonna let you. You think Satan is not gonna step up to your deathbed? If you just serve Satan all your life, you think he's gonna let a preacher come in that popular room and just convince you to walk with the Lord in your last couple of breath? No, he doesn't think he's gonna operate like that. He's gonna be right there. Right there. And I know some of us know many stories of folks that have died and you try to witness to them up until their death. And they say, I don't hear none of that. I'm not interested. Where did they get that from? From the enemy. What's his job? To kill, sin, and destroy. I'm not interested. Can I call the pastor? I don't want to hear him. On their deathbed. Same with the one thief on the cross. He's on the cross. And I don't sit here and say, well, you know, there were two thieves on the cross. I remember witnessing to a man. And I said, you need to get right with the Lord. He said, well, I got time. You remember the thief on the cross? I said, there were two thieves. See, there was one thief on the cross who rejected Jesus with his last breath. He said, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and really prove it to me. And there's people just like that. So when we start talking about the lesson today, we're talking about commitment. Just be committed. Be committed. Just be committed. Just ask God. You know what? If you don't have that ability to commit, just ask God. Certain things God won't, he's going to respond to. Be strict to commit. Be faithful like Noah. And do all that you command me to do. And we got all his commands in the Word of God.
Precious Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the people.